Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up June 5th through the 7th in Texas. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. We have Gigi back with us today. So, Gigi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jonathan.
Good. Well, as is normally the case on this program, and Gigi should know better than most of us, she's probably listened to every single broadcast we've ever done, is that, you know, time gets away from us, or actually we just really get deep into the material. And we wanted to make sure that for what we were covering here, that we really gave it the attention that's necessary. Gigi is our wives care director. She also does coaching for wives who are dealing with the trauma and what to do after they've discovered that their husbands are looking at pornography or struggling with some other form of sexually addictive behavior. And so Gigi has developed this kind of these principles of healing for wives, and it spells out heal, H-E-A-L. So last week we looked at two of these components, the first one being hope for the H, and then encouragement for the E. And so this week we're going to take a look at the last two, and I'm excited about this because some of these, this next one especially, is one that I really like, because I think in the same way that we try to teach husbands that if they're going to be a man of integrity, if they're going to heal and grow, that there actually has to be something they're shooting for.
Yes.
Like there have to be some goals. There have to be some things that they're, otherwise you're kind of just wandering around, crossing your fingers and sort of hoping that somehow magically in 5 years you'll wake up and you'll be this great man of integrity. Mm-hmm. I think some wives on this journey of healing kind of have a similar sort of wandering. And so tell us about this next principle, which is aim.
Right. I also love this one because it speaks of moving forward towards something. Mm-hmm. It's not something that happens instantly that we get there, but I think promotes long-term mentality towards life and dealing with this struggle. So I really have been helped by that. And I'll tell you just one thing that how this came about for me and impacted me is really by some of my friends and support. when I was facing this, one of them said, listen, this is not going to be resolved instantly. It's a long-term process. That was like, it stayed in my mind,
right,
back and forth many, many times. You know, it's come back that I can't have this quick fix, instant mentality about this. There will be things I'll be working towards.
And this is where I think what we're presenting here last week and this week are going to be so helpful to wives, because yes, that's true, right?
Yes.
That this does not happen overnight. It's a long journey. But sometimes if you leave a wife hanging there with just that thought, she's going, well, if it's a long journey, what steps do I need to take to go on this long journey? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with a guy. When we tell a guy, listen, on average, what we've seen historically is it takes between 3 to 5 years for a man who's intentional and working on becoming a man of purity to really get to a place of incredible freedom and stability and purpose in his life. And a guy looks at us with, you know, his eyes bug out. 3 to 5 years, what are you talking about? And so what we also have to add to this is saying, and now let us show you the incremental steps along the way in order to not make it 20 years that you're wandering around out here to try to get better. And so the idea of aim,
yes,
to me means, listen, there are some strategic goals that can be set that can help you. Because one of the first things that came to my mind, and it's not necessarily on this list here, but it kind of gets back to some things I was thinking about last week, is, you know, grief is one of those things that you can actually say, okay, while there's a natural feeling or emotion of grief,
yes,
there's also a grief process,
right,
that a wife needs to go through. And to say, you know, there are certain stages I need to go through in that process if I'm actually going to get to the other side of this pain and be able to then work on healing and growth.
Correct. And we think about that also, you know, in a physical sense, when you go through a trauma or an accident, there's a whole process to getting well, you know, and it's not hard for us to think that this is going to take time.
Yeah, if you break your leg,
yeah,
you don't have an expectation that in 2 days you're going to be able to walk.
Right. Yes.
And so I think a wife needs to be able to see that as saying, listen, you've had your legs broken.
Yes.
Emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some time before you can, quote, walk again.
Right. And so, and that plays a big part in not hurrying the process, because I think the hurry and, you know, the anxiety to just, like we said in the previous broadcast about just getting things fixed quickly.
Right.
You know, it hinders the healing. So I put here partnering with God and syncing with His timing and His strategies in this process, you know. And I'm afraid to say God's timing is not mine.
I think we would all understand that. And that's probably one of the frustrations that we have as humans, right?
Right.
Is that because our timing is almost always faster than God. I mean, like we would always want things to happen faster.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you put here syncing with God's timing and strategies. Because see, this is also where I think both a husband and a wife can get blinded in this process. But since we're talking about wives, I think sometimes a wife can get blinded by looking at things through sort of one lens, her marriage.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And God may have so many multi-layered strategies for what He's seeking to do through this pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does not like us being in pain.
Yes.
But since he's sovereign, he can mysteriously use pain to produce good.
And He does.
And so to sync with His strategy, I think, is what we talked about earlier, about just having a patience and being able to say, is there something else God wants me to look at in this besides just my marriage? And that can be very painful for a wife to have to look at some other things.
It can. And I would say with confidence that there always is, because, you know, we are human beings are complex. We have a whole story behind each one of us, and insecurities and things that happened in the past. And, you know, when you go through something as life-changing and traumatic as this, you know, those things that may have not even been given enough attention and healing from the past, they're going to come up to the surface. And because God wants to heal us, mm-hmm. He wants us to be more whole, you know. So while it's not about, you know, us having, now we become the issue, so right. to speak, you know, it's really just remembering that when God is dealing with us, we'll always have issues that we will need to work through. And mm-hmm. so this is going to be one of those times.
And you also say that during this time, or in this principle of AIM, you say here about staying in your zone of responsibility. Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I think it's such a tendency. And in the beginning, you know, we have to give ourselves so much grace. But the desire to control and to act in a way that it's irrational and demand things and, you know, those really are not going to help in the long term at all. They're just a reaction because we don't want to go through this pain and feel it the same way. But there is, what I found is there is a whole lot of this battle that God has given us that we do have control over, you know, and especially our individual healing. And, I remember, Jonathan, you and I working with a young wife who was struggling in the office here because her husband was doing crazy things. And you said, you know, why don't you put him on the shelf? Mm-hmm. I love that picture, you know. Just put him on the shelf for a while and just take care of yourself, mm-hmm. you know, because you can't do both. Eventually, mm-hmm. you're going to figure out that this is crazy making to try and control everyone and circumstances and even his mind and his thoughts. What are you thinking, you know? You know, whenever we try to do more than what God designed us to do, we add a heavier load to our shoulders.
That's true, yeah.
You know, and Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Take my yoke upon you, you know, and it's easy, and my load is light. So if you're feeling heavy, like it's unbearable, you're mm-hmm. probably not in your zone yeah. of responsibility.
And I think that's, and I'm glad you said that and not me, so that we won't get, you know, a lot of emails or calls and stuff, because sometimes, even as well-meaning as I can be, if I say something like what you just said, mm-hmm. it can stir up a lot of feelings, because a wife may say, you're a man, what do you know?
Yeah.
But the fact that you said this, you know, mm-hmm. if you're feeling heavy, if you're feeling like this is unbearable, this is an area to check. Are you maybe taking on more than what you need to take on? And I think there's a distinction here between just the normal heaviness of the emotion.
Yes.
You're talking more in terms of, like, when we talk about the zone of responsibility, am I taking on things and trying to control and be responsible for things mm-hmm. that are not mine to be responsible for? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you can get a heaviness and a burden that is not yours to carry.
Right. Well, I remember even in my journey, Jonathan, at one point I was really anxious about something that was going on with one of my children, and I shared that with, you know, that support network person, and she said, you know what? Why don't you just let that plate fall?
Mm.
I'm like, you mean...
Because it'll break.
It will break, you know, and it was just too much. I couldn't do all of that. Mm-hmm. I can't play God, you know? those shoes are too big for me. So
now you have on here one other thing that's important to aim for, and this is a difficult one, is forgiveness.
Yes.
But it's still something that needs to be aimed for.
That's right.
You know, if wives, and I think you can speak to this, if wives sort of sit around with their fingers crossed, kind of hoping that just magically somehow they'll eventually get to a place where they just feel like, I think I'm ready and want to forgive, it probably will never happen. There, now, this is not something that a wife is going to be ready for the day after she discovers all of her husband's betrayals. But in this journey, it is something that she will eventually have to be intentional about.
Right.
And start to seek out. And so why don't you speak to that, about what it looks like to aim for forgiveness?
Well, I think, you know, when God speaks so clearly about the need to forgive, that even if you can't forgive your brother, you're not going to be forgiven. You know, that's the language used in the Bible. I think it's a big sign that it's so important. He so does not want us to keep a bitterness issue growing within us, you know. So the forgiveness is crucial, but also I have a problem, Jonathan, with the way that, especially in the Christian circles, because it is something that it's so much the heart of God. The heart of God, even the gospel is all about forgiveness, right?
Absolutely.
So it's just, but to get a wounded wife fresh in her pain and just tell her you need to forgive, and we use, you know, trite. Forgiveness is heavy. It cost Jesus' life, you know? So I think taking the time to understand all that you're going through, to size the offense and the damage that it's done to you, that's all going to be it's a process. And what has helped me most, actually, with this issue is just understanding what forgiveness is not. And if you Google a little video on YouTube, 10 things that forgiveness is not, that's really helped me to understand and aim for that.
Well, and what my wife has said is, you know, she learned a lot about forgiveness in our healing process and in her healing process. And one of the things that she likes to say, she says, you know, forgiveness is a decision that you make over and over again.
Yes.
And some people have, and it doesn't, and kind of the way she describes it is, she says, yes, there were big, big moments where she felt like there were some stakes driven in the ground where she was like, I forgive you for, and then fill in the blank with all the things. And there was a, like, big moments, watershed moments where big things were forgiven. But then, did that mean that after she had those moments of big forgiveness, that those things never came to her mind again? That she never remembered the pain? That she never? No. And that's why she says forgiveness is a decision that you make over and over again. So you make it, there's the big moments, right, where we go, I get to a place where I really feel like in my heart I'm ready to say I'm not going to hold this against this person anymore.
Right.
And then after that moment, you have to remind yourself of the decision you made when those things want to come up again and again and again. And I have to brag on my wife here, because she has done this very, very well. After we got back together, we were separated for 9 months. And after we got back together, I mean, in terms of, she went through all this forgiveness. She forgave me of all these horrible things that I had done. And she has proven the mark of what I call true forgiveness. In that, in the 15 years that we have been back together, and I'm not exaggerating, Gigi, she has never once brought up again the things that I did to her before. Now, awesome. What she would say is, there were plenty of times she wanted to, but she was reminded, hey, forgiveness is you choosing to not hold against another person the offenses that they've committed against you.
Right.
And so it's a decision you make over and over and over again. But that's why I think it has to be under this principle of aim. It doesn't just magically happen. It doesn't just somehow you're going to have these feelings bubble up inside of you like, oh, yeah, I'm just now wanting to forget. No, it's a decision you have to make, and that's why you have to aim for this.
Yes.
And go through that process of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got one other thing on here under aim of aiming for enjoying life.
Yes.
You got to aim for that too, right? Because it's real easy for a wife to just drown in pain, isn't it?
It is. It is. I think remembering that life is not just all about this. Just like if you're dealing with cancer, and we've had that in our household, you know, with a child, and you have to remind yourself that cancer is not all that there is, right? And same thing here. So living fully the moment, the day, learning how to laugh again, you know.
I will share another story about this, about when my wife and I were separated, that fits this particular principle here. There was a day that my mom and my sister basically just kidnapped Elaine. I mean, we were separated, so I didn't know this happened until we got back together and she told me the story. And they basically just kidnapped her and said, today is a day of fun.
Oh.
They went and saw a movie. They went out and got ice cream. It was like, you know what? You need to put Jonathan on the shelf today. Go have some fun. Just enjoy a day.
Do your nails.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that is really important. I think in my recovery, learning, I actually got to a point I kind of forgot what I liked, what I didn't like. And my friend, again, my support network there, asked, what do you like to do? You know, and that kept coming back to me. Okay, today, what can I do that is enjoyable, that I have fun with? And looking for good laughs, Jonathan, because you know what? And I hear that, and I know some people have been offended in the show that you and Steve...
We laugh a lot.
We laugh a lot. But, hey, you know, we are funny.
We're
a piece of work. And God knows, and he's created humor, you know, so...
And I don't mean this in an offensive way, but let's get over ourselves, okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sometimes, I'm not saying that the issues that we have to deal with in life, especially the one we're talking about here, is not very, very serious. But like you said, you can drown if that becomes all that you're focused on all the time.
Yes.
And you know what? Our lives are not one-dimensional. And so we need to be able, a wife needs to be able to say, you know what, I need a laugh. Yes. And so sometimes that could just be seeing a good movie with some girlfriends or just, you know, going out and, I don't know, just doing something that's fun.
Yes.
Now this last, so we've looked at, in this acronym HEAL, we've looked at hope, encouragement, aim, and then this last one is love.
Yes.
So let's talk about how that works in a wife's healing to love.
Well, just thinking that this is really what God created us to be and do, you know, and the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this also, this whole trial and sufferings of any kind, I think, can produce a greater appreciation for learning to love. And I put here first, one of the things that this does bring in is just a greater love and appreciation for God and for the gospel. You know, that he came to really seek and save the lost and to mend the brokenhearted. And we're going to, you know, when you're going through this, you experience that firsthand. So your appreciation for who he is and how he is he goes through the deep valley with us. It's just the love increases on that front.
And I would say part of the healing that can come from that is that as a wife just pours her heart out to God and expresses her love for him, then I think worship flows from that.
Yes.
And, you know, I've always loved the Psalms of David, King David, because they almost have kind of a theme to them where a lot of times they start with a lot of passion, sometimes a lot of emotion, you know, could be something along the lines of just, you know, sadness. It could be anger. It could be, you know, God, smite my enemies, you know, I mean, just all this kind of stuff. But it's interesting, kind of a lot of times as these Psalms go along, as he brings all of this heightened whatever that's going on in his life into the presence of God.
Yes.
By the end of the Psalm, worship is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God's presence gives perspective to what's going on in our lives. And so loving God in the midst of your pain can just really give perspective to your whole problems in life.
Right. And I think it's an opportunity that God gives us to taste and see that he is good. Mm-hmm. Like in Psalm 34:8, you know, you actually see and experience that, you know, he's got it. He's got you. And then also loving your neighbor. It's a new dimension of loving my husband and seeing him through with the love and forgiveness that I've received from God himself and walking with him through his journey. Loving my children. And one of the things that I found is that, you know, both for my husband and my children, the best that I depend on the Lord and move towards experiencing healing myself, I'm going to be able to love them better.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also another with regarding to loving my neighbor, people in brokenness and grief, we just get a new appreciation because we've been there.
Yeah.
And a love and a compassion that wasn't there before.
And I think I would say that's kind of what your calling was born out of in terms of helping wives is I doubt that if the day your journey started, you necessarily had in your mind that you really wanted to reach out and help wives in this same kind of situation. It's something that kind of develops over time. And that's why I think this love piece is kind of nice to put on the end of the word of heal, because it's like, well, this isn't necessarily an order of the process. You know, these are all just principles that are necessary for a wife to heal. This love thing, sometimes it doesn't come immediately. You're not thinking the day you discover your husband's pornography addiction, how can I love my neighbor?
Right.
You're thinking, how can I not kill my husband and how can I fix this problem, you know?
Yes. And the last thought here is just loving myself.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge appreciation for reconnecting with who God made me to be, having, you know, my unique personality, talents, gifts, and even some of these things that have been challenged by others as not being good enough or, you know, sufficient. God tells me, yes, they are, because I created you that way. And becoming also the person that I'm becoming and loving that, what God is doing. So those are the things.
Gigi, thanks for being with us these last 2 weeks. And thanks for putting this together. Wives, if you would like to... If you'd like some more help in your healing journey, Gigi is a life coach, and she does our wives coaching here at the ministry, and she can do that by Skype or phone or face-to-face. So you can contact us at 1-800-49-PURITY or go to coaching.bebroken.com to learn how you can connect with Gigi. And we look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.